You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Welcome back to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now.
It's Political Commentary.
With Mark Dalder this morning. Kia ora, Mark. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Absolutely. It's seat of the pants type of politics going on at the moment. The polls are very tight between the left and the right block. But, of course, Winston Peters has really charged through the middle recently with quite a rise in his polling numbers. What's your take on the situation at the moment?
Yeah, you've kind of summarised it pretty well there. I mean, it's definitely a turnaround over the past week for Labour and therefore for the left bloc overall. We've had two of the last three polls now showing Labour, the Greens and Te Pāti Māori combined ahead of National and ACT, but with Winston Peters still sort of firmly wedged in the middle there, and with he having ruled out working with Chris Hipkins and vice versa, that still does mean a probably a right-wing majority and a national-led government post October 14.
It's an interesting sort of conundrum that we're in at the moment, because we've also seen over on the weekend Chris Bishop from the National Party making comments about the possibility of a hung parliament being something that might happen. And what do you make of that type of rhetoric coming out of National at the moment? What's it sort of aiming towards?
Yeah, I mean, it's the one thing to notice is it's much less likely to have a hung parliament now. There was a sort of the sad passing away of the ACT candidate in the Port Waikato electorate, which, due to some old rules in the Electoral Act that it sounds like we'll have a second look at post this election, means there'll be still 120 seats decided on Saturday night, but then a by-election for an extra seat in a few weeks' time. So there will actually be 121 seats in this parliament. No hung parliament, but you're right, Chris Bishop said could have a hung parliament, or we just might not be able to agree with New Zealand First and go to a second election because of that anyways. And really that's signalling that National does not want to be working with New Zealand First, particularly trying to juggle ACT on one hand and New Zealand First on the other. That's going to be really difficult for them. It'll harm their ability to do things that they want to do well in government. I mean, you can look at the last coalition government to see, yes, progress happened on various things, but clearly Winston was a handbrake on the one hand for Labour and the Greens were sort of tugging the other way at the same time. And so National's trying to avoid that scenario, but I think overall there's been a pretty obvious strategic error here in initially not saying anything about Winston Peters, which let him sort of rise in the polls. And then once it became clear that, you know, he had a decent chance of getting in, saying actually, yeah, we will work with him if we have to, which just, you know, jump-started his polling numbers. I think in the five polls prior to that ruling in announcement, New Zealand First averaged 5.2%, so, you know, just around that threshold. But it went up to 6.8% in the five polls since that decision was announced by Christopher Luxon. And so, it's a signal to voters that, yeah, we'll work with New Zealand First. So if you want them to be a check on a national government, go ahead and vote for them.
It's a very interesting situation to be in, because I personally can't remember an election campaign where so many people who are potentially going to be working together in coalition have been outright saying very negative things about their potential coalition partners. I'm thinking of David Seymour in one of the leaders' debates this week, you know, making shots directly at Winston Peters. This is perhaps quite an unusual state of play for New Zealand politics. What do you think it says about the tenor of this election campaign from across the board?
Yeah, I think it says, you know, people were hoping after 2020, a lot of politicians were hoping that was the last of Winston Peters and they wouldn't have to deal with him again. And now he's back, and that's sort of a grim, reality for them. And, you know, for ACT, they ruled out working with New Zealand First and they wanted National to do the same. And if National had at the time, maybe we'd be in a different situation now. And so it's perfectly understandable then for David Seymour to continue going after Winston, because that's never been a sort of positive relationship personally or politically between the two of them. And, on National's side, they clearly don't want to work with New Zealand First. But I think this kind of public panic attack that they're having over the prospect of doing so. You know, talking about a second election when people are already pretty tuned out from the first one is only going to backfire for them.
Well, we are seeing a very MMP-type election playing out already at the moment, as the polling's showing. Big swing towards those smaller parties, but much bigger swing than we've seen in previous years with people like the Greens and ACT, I guess, polling the highest that they have ever, which is very interesting. What is your takeaway for, I guess, that aspect of what we're seeing come out of this? What does it mean that we're seeing this push towards these smaller parties at the moment?
Yeah, I think part of what it means is just that people aren't particularly inspired by National or Labour. They clearly want something different. But given that Labour has basically run a one-party government for the past 3 years, something different is basically anyone but Labour, which is roughly what the polls are showing. You know, if you look at the preferred prime minister ratings as well, those don't always translate directly into party vote or anything like that. But both Chris Hipkins and Christopher Luxon are regularly in the low 20s there. You know, around 23% of people want each of them to be the prime minister, which means actually a majority of the country doesn't think that either of them is their preferred prime minister. So it's not surprising, given that, to go, okay, we are an MMP. There are legitimate options for voting for minor parties and third parties that aren't, you know, a wasted vote. People are going to be maybe looking at those options more seriously now that they don't have the star power of a Jacinda Ardern or a John Key attracting them to the big ones.
Yeah, it's a very interesting time. Just briefly, what were your thoughts out of the finance debate we saw the other night? There was a lot of sparring, particularly between Nicola Willis from National and Grant Robertson from Labour.
Yeah, I mean, it was sort of I think Grant Robertson and Nicola Willis have done 7 or 9 finance debates over the course of this election. That was the last one, and I think they'll be glad to be done with them. Retreaded quite a bit of familiar ground for each of them, but it did seem perhaps a bit more fiery, a bit more head-on between the two of them. Grant Robertson felt that he'd found another hole in National's tax plan when Nicola Willis wasn't able to say whether the foreign buyer tax would apply to people who are not tax residents of New Zealand or people who aren't immigration residents, who don't hold residence class visas in New Zealand. And Nicola likewise sort of felt that she'd got a hit on Grant because, you know, he's always explained his U-turn on this GST off fruit and veggies as a, you know, a come to Damascus moment, but the result of Labour putting a grocery commissioner into place so that they can make sure the price is passed on. Nicola Willis pointed out that the grocery commissioner was put into place last year, and Grant Robertson was calling it a GST off fruit and veggies a boondoggle as recently as March this year. So, yeah, a little bit of surprise here and there, but basically just what we've seen in the past 8 other ones.
Yes, absolutely. Well, thank you very much for your time, Mark, and also for all your commentary in this lead up to the election. Have you voted yet, or are you someone who likes to wait till the excitement of actual voting day?
I have voted. Nice. To be fair, for a journalist on election day, there's not all that much you can do until the polls close.
Yep.
But I just in case figured I'd do it early.
Yeah, get it done. Well, thank you very much, Mark. We will talk to you on the other side of the election, where I'm sure there'll be plenty to dissect whatever happens. Thanks for your time.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
You just heard a bit of political commentary.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.